Hey, everybody, how can we pressure Mike Gallagher? Also, Rana seems to be rejected by everybody. And then Mike Benz walks us through color revolutions here domestically. Big news. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Joining us now is someone I've known for quite a while, his great American patriot, Alex Brusewitz. Alex has been educating the American population regarding Mr. Gallagher, the inexcusable sudden resignation of Gallagher. Alex joins the program. Alex, welcome back to the program. Good to see you. Alex, what's going on with Gallagher? Walk us through it.
Well, thanks for having me, Charlie. It's great to be with you. And what a great day for True Social. So I know you've been on there since day one. But what's happening with Mike Gallagher is an absolute disgrace. And it shouldn't be allowed to happen, quite frankly. But what it seems to have been happening is a company called Palantir offered Mike Gallagher a job. He's now leaving Congress early and going to be leaving the great patriots of Wisconsin's 8th congressional district without representation until January of next year. And so Mike Gallagher is totally quitting on the people that voted for him and leaving Republicans with a one seat majority for the time being, which is an absolute travesty. I mean, we need to keep these investigations into crooked Joe Biden and Hunter Biden going. And Mike Gallagher quitting Congress is putting this in jeopardy and all of the other great work that the House Republicans are doing in jeopardy. So Mike Gallagher is joining the likes of Ken Buck and Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney with this ridiculous decision. And so we need to keep putting the pressure on him and holding him accountable.
But what walk me through this, Alex, and tell me about the district he represents. I know it involves Door County and other. What part of Wisconsin is this? And what's wrong with this guy? Is he being actively blackmailed? Did he do some dark activities at 2 a.m. with some people and the intel agencies are, you know, trying to hold that? Again, this is not speculation. Tim, we have Burchett's quote, don't we? Burchett, Congressman Burchett came out on the Benny Johnson program a couple months ago and says, happens all the time. People whisper in your ear, hey, we got a picture of you with a naked girl. Do you think Gallagher is being blackmailed?
Well, that would be very troubling if he was, and I wouldn't put it past the folks in Washington, D.C. and the deep state to do something like that. And so I don't know much about what Mike Gallagher does in his personal life, but I do know what he does in his political life. He's been nothing but a shill for the intelligence agencies and the military industrial complex during his tenure in Congress. He's not America First or pro-President Trump at all. He was invited to the World Economic Forum and participated in the globalist summits over the years. And so he does not care about our country, quite frankly. And I think you laid it out pretty nicely on your show yesterday. But this district is incredibly important for President Trump and Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. And he's leaving them voiceless for the next 9 months. This includes Door County, includes Green Bay, Shawano, Oconto, a lot of the rural counties with actually a large population in the state. And we need to turn out like crazy. And now they're going to be voiceless for 9 months. And so I'm very concerned by what Mike Gallagher did. And I know the people of Wisconsin's 8th district are concerned. You've had Oconto and Waupaca County chairman send letters demanding he resigns before April 2nd so that it triggers a special election. You've had the largest county in the district, Brown County, send a letter to Gallagher saying that they're incredibly disappointed with his decision to resign early. And they hope that he at least does the right thing and sticks out through the end of his term, but he's not going to. It's evident that he sold out. Palantir is basically an extension of the CIA, and Mike Gallagher is going to have a very handsome payday over there when he leaves, and the people of Wisconsin will be left without representation.
Yeah, so walk us through it. So he's the co-sponsor of the TikTok bill, and then he resigns. Walk us through this, and it makes me not support the TikTok bill, to be honest with you.
Right. I know President Trump's come out strongly against that particular ban. When you have Nancy Pelosi on TV celebrating something, then you probably have to take a pause and wonder what the heck's going on. But Mike Gallagher was the co-sponsor of the recent TikTok ban legislation that is broader than just TikTok itself. But Palantir has been actively advocating for this ban. And so just coincidentally, Mike Gallagher, the author of the TikTok ban, gets hired by the company that's been spearheading the lobbying effort to ban TikTok just days after the ban goes through. And so I'm not saying that there's quid pro quo or pay for play, but there's a lot of people that are speculating that. And, you know, it's not the first time that that would have happened in Washington, D.C., if that actually is the case. But I think he deserves to at least, you know, he needs to be transparent with the district. He needs to be transparent with the people of the district who have paid him $1.5 million in taxpayer money for his salary over the last 8 years. And he's just giving up on them. And he's had no transparency. He's not been honest with the people. You know, when he voted to defend Alejandro Mayorkas, he said, well, I'm concerned that James Madison is going to come back from the dead and send me a mean tweet. But in reality, what we're finding out now is that Palantir has a $95 million contract with Alejandro Mayorkas' DHS. Did that have an impact on his vote? And so how long has he been in conversation with Palantir? Has he been acting as Wisconsin's 8th congressman for the last year, or has he been acting as Palantir's personal congressman for the last year? And so I hope he has at least the respect and decency to give the answers to the people, but I don't think he will.
I want to play this tape here. This is Congressman Tim Burchett talking about how government officials are blackmailed. You have to wonder, is Mike Gallagher being actively blackmailed? Play cut 23.
It's how it works. You're visiting, you're out of the country, or out of town, or you're in a motel or bar in D.C., and some whatever you're into, women or men or whatever, comes up, and they're very attractive, and they're laughing at your jokes, and you're buying them a drink. Next thing you know, you're in the motel room with them naked, and next thing you know, you're about to make a key vote, and what happens? Some well-dressed person comes up and whispers in your ear, hey, man, there's tapes out on you. Were you in a motel room on whatever with whoever? And then you're like, uh-oh. And said, you really ought not be voting for this thing.
So it makes you wonder, Alex.
Yeah, it does. And I don't think Tim Burchett would just make that up. I think he's a very honorable guy and a smart guy who loves our country. And he's in Washington, D.C. for the right reasons. But, you know, the deep state and the swamp, they do a lot of different things to get control of somebody's vote. And the stories I've heard over the years, I think that they're very similar to what Tim Burchett just laid out there. And so, again, I don't know what Mike Gallagher does in his personal life. I'm not familiar with him in that regard. But, you know, he's not who he campaigned on being. There's a lot of Republicans. They campaign a certain way. And then they get to Washington and they do a 180 and you're like, what the hell happened? And so it's very possible that there was a situation like that that played out, obviously, with Eric Swalwell and his infamous Chinese girlfriend, Fang Fang, you know. So there's a lot of stories like that that have actually been proven to be true. And so I wouldn't be shocked if something like that happened. But I do know that the people of Wisconsin's 8th district deserve better. And, you know, Mike Gallagher now has a handpicked replacement. His name's Roger Roth. There's a total rhino, would totally be in the same boat. He's would be completely bought and paid for by the same special interest groups that own Mike Gallagher. And so Wisconsin 8 needs to be very strategic about who they send to Washington next time, because we can't have another Mike Gallagher.
The phone number is very easy. 920-301-4500. That is 920-301-4500. Alex, talk about your social media, how people can follow you.
You can follow me at Alex Bruzewitz on all social media platforms, True Social, Instagram, and Twitter, X, as it's called now. I don't want to dead name it. So pretty active on there, and try to be like Charlie Kirk, but it's hard, man. Charlie comes in hot every day.
We try our best. You remember the Wild West days of Twitter? Remember that, Alex?
Oh yeah,
we were one of the pioneers. Back
glory days.
That 2016 and 17. Those were the glory days. Alex, God bless. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. If you're looking for a reliable and clear way to have voice and text communication to any number from anywhere in the world, you need a satellite phone, and no one does it better than the Satellite Phone Store. Just go to sat123.com. Check out sat123.com. There is no tracking. No one can listen in on your phone calls. And the most secure way to communicate is from satellite phone to satellite phone. Even the U.S. military uses satellite phones, and you'll never get an advertisement from any other company because everything you do with the satellite phone will be 100% private. In America this year, only 5% of the island in Maui burned, but 95% of the island lost its power and cell service. Even the 911 emergency service was down because they had no access to satellite communication backup. Be ready. Prepare your family with power and communication. Go to sat123.com. Get a free sat phone for a free 15-month agreement, a $1,200 value. Safety and security are just a click away. Just go to sat123.com for affordable individual family plans or call 855-980-5830. We finally got the RNC in a better place. Chris LaSavita, Laura Trump, Whatley, they're doing a good job. They still got some things to do, some things to improve, but I think that things are well underway. So what happened to Rana? And it was never personal with Rana. I've known Rana for a while. You know, she deployed her attack dogs against Turning Point, against me personally, against this program. She did everything she possibly could to try to hold on to power. She doesn't have that power anymore. So like most people in Republican politics, they want to go to the very institutions that were once torturing them. There's something very perverse psychologically about this, and I'm sure Blake would have some thoughts. Paul Ryan goes on to go be an establishment moderate lobbyist. It's as if when they resign, they always want to go back to the very institutions that were making their life hell. Maybe it's because they always wanted to win support over them. They always wanted to be in the cool kids club. They always wanted to be on NBC News. Here is Chuck Todd leading the revolt, an on-air revolt. So NBC News hires Rana as a contributor, her dream job, you could say. And the NBC talent, oof, gloves are off, play cut 46.
So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. What about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting. Have been met with character assassination.
So now reports show that Rana might be on the way out at NBC News. It is complete bedlam. Joy Reid says, quote, it's saying that we have to entertain the idea that the election was stolen on an equal level as we entertain the idea that we should be a multiracial democracy. That is not fairness and balance. That is capitulating to an autocrat in advance by saying, yes, we will take your apparatchik and allow them to be elevated and platformed with us. Not only is Rana one of the least popular, most hated people on the right, she's also hated by the left. And I think it is a perfect story and an incredibly important takeaway for Ken Buck, for Mike Gallagher. Unless you go full Liz Cheney and full Adam Kinzinger, there will never be a place at the table for you with these savages, ever. And Rana shows up in NBC News thinking that she'll be warmly received. She was the moderate, cooler head in the room, right? She was the one that, she wasn't as crazy as those Charlie Kirk people. But now she has no friends on the right. The grassroots can't stand her because she declared war on the grassroots. And then she goes to try to have a hero's welcome at NBC, and they say, I hate you. This is a moral lesson to us all. Rana thought that she could execute a soft and seamless landing and NBC News, that they would say, well, thank you, Chairman McDaniel, for all of your great work at the RNC, holding up decency and quelling the rebellion of the grassroots. And by the way, if NBC News was smart, which they're not, because they're driven by rage and envy and fury, do you know what they would say? Kristen Welker would say, Rana, thank you for being a contributor. Thank you for weakening the Republican Party and damaging it so significantly that Joe Biden just actually might win another term. What you did at the RNC was never done before. You had the worst fundraising year in the last 30 years, inflation adjusted. You have no full-time staff in Arizona, Wisconsin. The grassroots donors have completely dried up, and you are the most hated figure on the right besides Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. On behalf of all the Marxists at NBC News, thank you, Rana, for your contribution to the revolution. That's what they should have said. But instead, they just see red because it's not enough. She's a symbol of someone who didn't completely do everything they want to do. And she'll probably go on to some other network. And by the way, on there, she said she does not think January 6th people that were nonviolent should be pardoned. She had all these other, you know, big ringers. Oh, I would have loved the opportunity to sit down with Welker to talk about the election. Was the election stolen, Rana? I'm sorry, Kristen Welker. Did we not have 50 former intel agencies erroneously sign a letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation? Oh, that's just one of many facts. Don't betray your base and go to the left expecting a hero's welcome. Turns out both sides hate you, Rana. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk. You might be wondering why some of my age is talking to you about an organization that's been associated with older generation. And no, I don't mean the radical AARP. It's because preserving the foundation of our nation and promoting conservative values isn't just for seniors. It's for all Americans, regardless of age. That's why I want to talk to you about the other organization, AMAC. Yes, they champion issues that are critical to the senior community, but their mission and impacts go way beyond that, offering incredible benefits and opportunities for conservatives of every age. Joining AMAC means you aren't only supporting advocacy for older Americans, you're also becoming part of a larger movement to protect our freedoms and ensure our nation endures for generations to come. Plus, here's the fun part. You'll enjoy member-only benefits and discounts on things like travel, food, theme parks, movie tickets, special car insurance rates, and more. The bottom line is that our fight for conservative values need fresh energy and wisdom and experience. So whether you're young and looking to make a difference or a seasoned patriot with an undying passion for freedom, AMAC is your home. Join today at amac.us/Kirk. Go and get a membership for your parents, too, and your grandparents for only $16 a year. It's the best way to play a crucial role in securing the future for all Americans. Do not wait. Join AMAC now at amac.us/Kirk. Let's go to Mike Benz. Mike, welcome to the program. Lots to discuss here. Thank you for the time. Again, the conversation that we had previously was terrific. So, Mike, I do want to get your thoughts on this. What is your initial takeaway on, and I have no idea what your reaction will be, on the TikTok bill that is currently pending in front of Congress? What is your take?
Yeah, it's a very complicated issue because there's the national security concerns that from my perspective, the valid, you know, side of the advocacy around TikTok has to do with great power competition, not so much on the security side. You know, we have this, the arguments around banning TikTok were a lot more colorable several years ago before our own federal government moved so heavily into the censorship industry. TikTok has basically copied its terms of service violation policies to what NATO has asked for. I see it being a complicated issue, obviously, because we are in this great power competition with China. But the issue is if you do and I catch some flack from this from folks, you know, because I consider myself to be a China hawk. But in this regard, I think that there is a potential diplomatic devastation from banning another country from being able to have a successful social media product in our own country when we spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year exporting soft power, informational and media influence to other countries. I witnessed firsthand at the State Department what happens when you negotiate with counterparts on the basis of values and they throw back in your face. I mean, even at the time, you know, when we would make arguments about Huawei and China having a backdoor to the IT infrastructure of other countries, were they to choose Huawei over a Western competitor, you know, the answer would be, well, how about the Snowden leaks? You know, doesn't the NSA do the same thing? And the fact is other countries are aware of that. That's public information. When you do this, I think the issue is just like you know, Nayib Bukele in El Salvador very publicly made the argument that arresting Donald Trump meant the end of legitimacy around U.S. sanctions policy for jailing political opponents. This is going to do the same thing, I think, potentially in the free trade space and make any investment of any commercial entity that's a large multinational player in the U.S. Look like the U.S. is fragile in the same way that running an investment in New York now looks fragile because you can just get fined $500 million by a rogue judge as they're doing to Trump. I have very serious concerns that doing this to TikTok is going to cause a similar flight from the U.S. and damage our ability to be diplomatic abroad, in addition to the free speech rights, you know, that are endemic to the issue itself.
I want to dive into the story here. This idea of Georgetown had a CIA op to run a color revolution, destroy our country. What is this all about, Mike?
Yeah, well, and let me say that I've never alleged that this is a formal CIA operation. You know, what you have is at the top of it is a character named Rosa Brooks, who is the head of the Transition Integrity Project. And Rosa Brooks was teaches democratization studies at Georgetown Law currently. So she's sort of billed as an academic. But this is another one of these faux facades where you can't really spell academia without CIA in it. Rosa Brooks was a former high-ranking Pentagon official for the Obama administration, and I read her book. Her book is about how war became everything, and the military how military became everything and war became everything too, or something. I forget. It's sort of a complicated title. But basically, in the book, in the first chapter, she brags about having a CIA blue badge and access to the inner sanctum of the CIA. You know, the CIA's job is to rig elections abroad. Even James Woolsey, the CIA director, said that openly to Megyn Kelly just a few years ago. And we've been, you know, using the CIA as a dirty tricks department for 100 years to do that. And, you know, so Rosa Brooks is this CIA DOD official who ran Transition Integrity Project, which was really the first full-scale domestic color revolution, you know, simulator that to my knowledge, this country has ever had. It's everything that the 20 defendants in Georgia have been accused of on RICO charges there, but on absolute steroids. You know, basically what this was, for folks who don't know, is this was a counter-coup simulator is how they build it. They said in June 2020, if Trump refuses to leave office, then we need to be able to have if he holds on to the instruments of government like Slobodan Milosevic did in Yugoslavia, or like, you know, Yanukovych, they argue, tried to do in 2014. What if he just doesn't leave office? We need to develop a capacity to run him out of office as we do around the world with authoritarians who refuse to leave office. So the first two simulations they ran were ambiguous result. You know, what happens if it's just a crisis? We can't tell who wins. And then, you know, what happens if it's a very close victory for Biden, but Trump can make an argument that it should go to Trump. But they screwed up because simulation three was called clear Trump win. How can we still coup Trump out of office, even if we have no grounds to do it, even if it's not a coup that he's holding? What if he wins fair and square? Can we still run this coup anyway? And what they contemplated was, this is in June 2020, 1 month after the George Floyd riots popped off, they contemplated doing favors, explicit favors, for racial justice activists associated with the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as all the other street paramilitary groups like Antifa, in order to respond to a Biden call to take to the streets. Now, surrounded by Rosa Brooks, there were Donna Brazile, the former head of the DNC, Michael Steele, the former head of the GOP, Bill Kristol, the head of the neocon Never Trump wing of the Republican Party, and a coterie of other high-ranking defense and intelligence officials. And another thing they plotted was to work alongside the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, who magically kept his job as Joint Chiefs of Staff 2.5 years into the Biden administration. You know, this was a Trump appointee, associated with a lot of dirty deeds for undermining Trump, who Biden kept in office. And, you know, this group of military intelligence officials planning to run a domestic color revolution if Trump won the Electoral College, you know, they were planning to work along. So it was a high-low coalition, working with the military, working with the Joint Chiefs, and then working with this kind of anarcho-tyranny mob in order to simulate the kind of regime change operations at home that we've done for so long abroad.
So I want to kind of dive into this further. Do we have even more infrastructure for this cycle, what it might look like? We haven't seen BLM yet. Could it happen? Could something else get exploited?
Yeah, well, one of the things that concerns me is when I see federal funding going to, you know, what appear to be these kind of street paramilitary groups, like you have this thing called the Climate Corps that Biden pumped, you know, a lot of money into. You know, this is, I think it was tens of millions of dollars in the last budget. You know, it almost has this sort of military name. Now the climate sort of eco-terrorism mob was highly associated with the shutdown DC movement here in the US. There was something called the Sunrise Movement. And these famous Sunrise Zoom calls, which warped in officials from the Department of Homeland Security, from CISA, the very agency censoring the election and also administering the election at the electronic level, as well as military folks and these sort of civil society, CIA cutout groups, the National Endowment for Democracy. And so the Sunrise Movement had this vast planning infrastructure for how to shut down the country and shut down DC. That was their hashtag, shut down DC, in the run-up to 2020. And now I see tens of billions of dollars being pumped into these groups directly by the Biden administration. Who is in charge of that energy slush fund that this money runs through? Well, it's John Podesta. Who was John Podesta? It wasn't just Hillary Clinton's campaign manager in 2016. John Podesta was a member of the Transition Integrity Project. Not just a member of it, he was the one who personally role-played the role of Joe Biden in the coup simulator to work with Black Lives Matter and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to jointly run Trump out of office if he happened to win the election. So the fact that that same source seems to be funding basically a kind of zombie cell in waiting to potentially recreate the 2020 destabilization efforts is something that I think will become hotter as the summer approaches.
So what's stopping us from defunding all this? Does the House Republicans, in our spending deals, can't we defund this?
Well, the issue is there's a civil war on the right now between the populist faction who's focused on domestic priorities and the foreign policy establishment, the traditional power base of the GOP, which is focused on foreign policy. So you have this domestic priorities versus foreign policy side. And there is definitely a growing faction within Congress of that MAGA populist domestic side. But the fact is party leadership is totally beholden to the foreign policy establishment. You know, this is the same way that Republicans got, you know, steamrolled in this $1.2 trillion spending bill, the same way that it was Republicans who funded the very, you know, the expansion of the FBI at the same time the FBI was manhandling and imprisoning their own president. At the same time that the FBI you would think that the GOP would be defunding the entire Justice Department until they drop these insane lawsuits imprisoning a president and basically terrorizing all their political opponents. You want real weaponization accountability. You hit them in the purse strings. In fact, that's what Mayorkas said, the DHS secretary, you know, when he was pleading for more CISA funding. And by the way, the Republicans gave CISA all the funding they asked for, too, even after the Republicans knew that CISA had censored millions of Republicans in the 2020 election and 2022 midterms. And, you know, I've had some of these conversations with folks in Congress, and my impression is there's a tremendous amount of pressure from party leadership to give the blob its cut on money. And you can make all the barking you want in the media, but when it comes down to it, where you really get in trouble is taking out their funding. And I think people are afraid in Congress.
So what coded phrases should we look for this summer and fall showing that they're trying to pull off similar color revolution shenanigans here?
Yeah, the number one is democracy. So anytime you see funding going towards domestic civil society groups, now this is another cover word, okay? Civil society, you know, your mind is drawn to the word civil. And what they're, you know, really referring to there is a distinction between, you know, the civilian side and government. So civil society is the classic phrase for government cutouts. When the government wants to do something but can't get caught doing it because it would be illegal or because it would be an international scandal, what we do is we set up cutouts within civil society. This is nonprofit world. These are the NGOs. University centers are a major hub for this, like Georgetown and like Stanford, like Harvard, like MIT, and many others who are wrapped into this. But when you see domestic democracy funding, that is a watchword for color revolution. Democracy is the word that we use to ignite our foreign policy apparatus to send them into action to overthrow governments. And so this is a word as much problems as the Democrats had with Bush in, you know, 2000, 2008. They were calling him, you know, Hitler. They were calling him a warmonger. What they didn't call him was a threat to democracy.
That's new. But that's a Soros thing. Soros came up with this. He workshopped it for years. So, Mike, what else do we have to know about this? And talk about, so Soros for years theorized that the emphasis on the word democracy, democracy, democracy. There's other people that are obviously to credit for this or to blame. But Soros has always been a major pusher for that word. And that word does not mean what people think the word means. It's almost as if they employed the Steve Jobs strategy. Find a word that is very high in people's standing. Apple. You know, everyone has a good feeling. Apple, can you name a company after it? They essentially named the political movement democracy, the same way that Steve Jobs named the tech company Apple. Walk us through this, Mike, because democracy does not mean democracy. It really means oligarchy, rule of the few.
Yeah. And specifically when used by folks within the foreign policy establishment, democracy means overthrowing governments. So, you know, we had Woodrow Wilson in the 1910s as sort of the godfather of all of this. This is why the foreign policy establishment media mouthpieces are clinging to Woodrow Wilson, even as the left tries to cancel him. You know, David Frum, who role played the role of Donald Trump in the counterparting John Podesta's role playing Joe Biden in the Transition Integrity Project. David Frum was George Bush's speechwriter, and he now is basically the sort of CIA's mouthpiece over at The Atlantic for all of their machinations over there. And David Frum, you know, role played again Trump to see ways that Trump would be able to stave off, you know, a domestic color revolution so that that could be steelmanned by John Podesta. But David Frum wrote a piece actually just a month and a half ago in The Atlantic calling for a crackdown on the progressive left's attempt to cancel Woodrow Wilson, you know, because there's a lot of allegations, as the left is wont to do, about him being a racist or, you know, all these sort of views that are not fashionable today in those circles. And, you know, he made the argument, we need to hold on to Woodrow Wilson. We can't impugn him. He is one of our sacred cows because we need him to be able to topple governments around the world. He was the godfather of our democracy doctrine, you know, the Wilsonian moment, which is this idea that we need to make the world safe for democracy, is a really cute trick that's been used again now for over a century, because our foreign policy establishment only leaps into action, only gets its license to use its Department of Dirty Tricks to be able to rig media and rig elections and, you know, exert all this soft power influence under two conditions. And one is external aggression. So when a country is aggressing against a foreign country or aggressing against a neighbor, but if we can't nail them on that, then we go with this internal repression. If they're not, you know, attacking other people on the world stage, well, they're repressing their own people. Their own people lack freedom. Their own people lack a robust media ecosystem. Their own people lack free and fair elections. So that gives us the CIA, the State Department, the Pentagon, the unfettered, you know, blank check license to go in and give those people those freedoms by toppling that government and then giving it back to them, the people. That's sort of the predicate, which means no matter what a country's doing, you can always argue that some dissident group is being oppressed. And when they can't get that license immediately, what the CIA and State Department will do is they will fund those dissident groups, and then they will be the ones to report on the state crackdown on them. And then that will give rise to the democracy predicate to overthrow the government. So once you have this democracy predicate in hand, this allows the hundreds of millions of dollars of state funding, plus all of the latent sleeper cell NGOs in waiting, to automatically descend, you know, on this problem that's required. You know, this is the whole of society effort that's a part of our foreign policy operations. And we saw that even here in the 2020 election domestic color revolution simulator. You see, there's four wings of the main NGO that the CIA works through, which is called the National Endowment for Democracy. So once again, you know, this is the Washington Post, by the way, who in the 1990s wrote that the NED, the National Endowment for Democracy, is a CIA cutout. So don't take my word for it. They reported that it was created to do overtly what the CIA used to do covertly and would work as a CIA liaison. So again, using that word democracy, National Endowment for Democracy, which means national big pool of funds for overthrowing governments. Now, they have four wings of the NED, and they were highly active, by the way, in 2020 in this TIP scenario. And those four wings are something called the NDI, the National Democratic Institute, which is the CIA wing of the Democrats. Hunter Biden, by the way, was on the chairman's advisory board of that. IRI, the International Republican Institute, which is the GOP side of the CIA. And that, you know, right next to Hunter Biden at Burisma is Kofor Black. Anyway, the Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO or two of the other branches, the NED, they're the ones who agreed to pull off to stand down the protest for 2020.
Mike, excellent job. Come back soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.